could be the greatest upset in school history. This is unbelievable. South Texas Vol right there. How far away are you from us right now? About 900 miles. Let's hold hands here. We actually, you're going to be ahead of me. I'm on DirecTV. You're ahead of me.
Am I?
Don't tell me what happens. I'm on DirecTV. God, what a catch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then you should probably unmute me.
You're on. How about if I mute you? Come on, Lincoln. Come on, Lincoln. Come on, Lincoln. You gotta be kidding me. A pig? I hate Alabama. How much did we get job in that game, South Texas Ball? Do the officials, is there more than one, are you allowed to have more than one team in that league or no? The league office is there, and it's just all about them, isn't it?
I think
we outplayed them. I want that butt cut right there to go to the podium and say, if we're number one in America, Tennessee's a top 10 team.
Yes.
Because that right there, we thoroughly outplayed them today. They can have their A, and they can take their yellow hammer. And they can stick it in their A.
I think there's going to be an open competition come Monday. I think Kiffin's going to contact some soccer players or something, because that's ridiculous.
That's disgusting.
Oh.
They got lucky. That's what happened today. Special teams, God bless Eddie Graham, our special teams are awful. They're still awful. Our kick is awful. Our punting's awful. We couldn't even call up a corner, knock a guy. And that Crompton kid played his brains in today.
You can't tell me that Crompton cost us the game. There's no way.
That's disgusting. That stinks.
Matt Mount Cody, I just look at him and I go, golly, you made me so mad, because if you were about 20 pounds lighter, you wouldn't be anything. And I'm about sick of Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson kissing his butt up and down the field, too.
I don't like to use the term choke, but that report was about as close to a choke as you'll ever see. We welcome you to another edition of the fifth quarter. If you want to get in here, the South Texas Vol is on here with me right now, and Nick Saban makes me sick at my stomach. And let me give you a few observations here as Tennessee loses in a gallant effort. Tennessee falls today in a real old-school football game. This game right here, stick it up there with that game in 68. It's an absolute classic. And they let Alabama today, the officials, I thought, get away with murder in that game. They called a couple ticky-tack calls on us in that one drive, and we were able to penetrate their 30. They tried to bad spot us a couple times. In fact, they did. They called demonstration penalties on them when they should have. There was a phantom hold call on that one play. And Lane Kiffin today outcoached the Mr. Wonderful. And he's not Paul Orndorff. He outcoached him today. And the bottom line is, if Alabama was all that, they would have stayed. If he was that great of a coach with that great of a feel and McElwain was all that great, they would have stayed with that Wildcat, because we had no answer for that thing today. But for some reason, they were trying to work on their passing game, and it almost cost them. Tennessee played a great, and I mean hold your fingers in the air and scream it. So that was a next-level effort by the Vols today.
Ugh.
South Texas Vol, what do you say? You're on with the emotion right now in San Antonio as we speak.
I mean, we scored that touchdown, and like I said, Crompton, he threw that interception, but I think that might have been the only bad throw he had in the entire game. You can just see him growing up, and like you said, someone said a while back in that Auburn game when we did the two-minute drill, it was like something.
Time out. I want to tell you what Gary Danielson just said. If they're calling it to the letter of the law, Gary Danielson just made a great point. Cody, as soon as this block kick happens, watch this, rips his helmet off while the ball, there's still time on the clock. Watch him rip his helmet off. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
That should be a re-kick, and the ball should be moved 15 yards closer. Of course, what would have happened if they would have re-kicked it and moved the ball 15 yards closer? Would you care to tell me what would have happened?
They'd have probably gotten blocked. No. Tennessee would have won, probably. I think Lincoln, Lincoln tries to get more umph on it, so he keeps it low. And, you know, I think that's a weakness that he's got, is that he doesn't have the leg for a 40 to 45 yard field goal. And so he's got to keep it low. And I think teams have picked up on that because, you know, he's getting kicks blocked left and right, you know. So I'm speechless. I'm mad. I'm proud. I don't know what to say. I want to shake Lane Kiffin's hand. I want to shake Jonathan Compton's hand. I want to shake the receivers' hands just because they're continuing to step it up. And it's one of those things you just sit there and go, one person never costs you a football game. And even Lane Kiffin says that. Back when Compton was not playing so well, he was saying, listen, Compton's making bad throws, but our receivers aren't running good routes. So it's a whole team effort. And I've never seen one person cost us a football game. Never seen it happen.
I've never been more proud of Tennessee in a loss than I am right now. I'm prouder of us than I was in that Florida game.
Oh, gosh, yeah. You kidding me? We should have won this game. Our kicker that's getting school paid for, that's getting all his books paid for, this is why he's in school, is to play football. It was 1 for 4. Two of them being blocked.
Yeah, he lost the game.
And
he lost the game.
And I, you know, and that kid that's coming up from Florida next year, who's got kid's got an incredible leg. He's licking his chops. He's going, I'd have made all four of those.
Michael Pilardi, that was duck soup. We win that game today with Pilardi. Hey,
yeah.
STV, stay there. I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to go get as many people on as we possibly can today. If you want to dial in with us, dial in. I want to hear from you. Here is the deal, though. The Southeastern Conference. I can't kick anybody off. And guess 9, would you quit acting like an idiot, whoever you are? Would you quit that? You don't need to use the N-word on here. In fact, I think I can block him. Let's see. Okay, you're now blocked. You're an idiot, and you're blocked. Have a good night. Moron. Getting this. I'm thinking this. I'm figuring this out here. Man, what a bad loss. What a great loss. What a bad loss. What a frustrating game. Did they call that back on Notre Dame? They called that back. Notre Dame, I'm telling you, when you're Notre Dame and you're Alabama, you get every call. You get every darn call. Today in the fifth quarter, if you want to get on with us, Broncos ZR, tell them how they can do that. People get so confused. Sinclair, I want to hear from you. Where's Sinclair? Thompson played really well today. That guy's really grown up. Here's the thing about this conference, okay? They can't wait to interject themselves into the game, right? They can't wait to interject themselves into the game and not wait. And then when the time comes, okay, stand up and make a call. No call. And that is what the rule is for. You're not to rip your helmet off in the field of play and taunt somebody. You know what? Not in this conference. Not with Rocky Bat around. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Painful loss. I'm gonna go back to the phones. I think it's absolutely disgusting. Guest 28 for line of the night, Greg Burke, just popped a 20-year-old bottle of champagne. And, you know, if you think about it, and I was just looking at the physical similarities, there are physical similarities between Chris Burke and our field goal kicker. And our field goal kicker kicks like Delta Burke. It is 7 past 7 o'clock hour. That makes me ill. What a disgusting result in that game. Alabama just got thoroughly outplayed in their building on national television. Want to call the show at 724-444-7444. And then punch in 61744. And then hit request to talk. But Alabama, I'm going to tell you right now, they're number one in America, and Florida's number two in America. Boy, wouldn't you love to have that UCLA game back. What a way. And those announcers were loving on Bammer. They were Bammers from the word go. And Vern Lundquist, it is time for Vern Lundquist to go. G-E-A-U-X. At one point, he said Lee Kiffin hit a 49-yard extra point. And I thought I had the Vol Network on. That poor kid. How would you like to be that poor kicker right now? Amand Kamala, the Ugandan giant, did block two field goals today. Why didn't Cody just paint the moon and some stars on his stomach? He is an absolute hog. And I want the Alabama fans to talk smack on us this week. So I'm going to tell you what happened to them today. They got lucky. Lucky. And to all the Fulmerites out there, I say to you, would Fulmer have gone for it on fourth down and short on a couple of those drives that showed the testicular fortitude that Lane Kiffin did? The answer is negative. Would Fulmer have done those things? The answer is negative. That one awesome football game. I'm watching the end of this Boston College Notre Dame game right now. Looking down for a second. Young quarterback from BC is pretty good. And I understand that this Reddy kid, his name is committed to them. Is that right, kid from California? He's back on the market, according to XO. Back to the phones. I've lost my voice yelling there. Stupid of me. Northern Middle, what you got tonight, brother? Talk to me down in Northern Middle. Are you there? Guys, this is Talk Radio. It's going to be a really quick fifth quarter if somebody doesn't start talking.
Tony, are you there?
What's up, buddy? What's up? Hello?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, what'd you think of the game?
The game today? Ass-whooping. We put an ass-whooping on them, but we still have errors, weaknesses in our team, which are still cause us to be vulnerable. But everybody there knows we whipped that ass. They all know it.
They got physically beat up today. Team is supposed to be tough on everybody else. At the end of that game, who was sucking wind?
This reminds me in 1965 when that drunk Kenny Staber threw the ball out of bounds and they were all stunned and horrified. It was the beginning of about a 65, 66, 67, about a 6-year run where we just dominated these clowns. They know it today. With a far better football team, we took it right to them. And they know it. And you're right, that what do they call Cody? Not Cody?
Yeah.
Well, that clown pulled his helmet off.
Yes.
You're right. That's a violation right there.
But they can't wait to call the ones that don't exist.
Precisely.
The rules there, they choke on their whistles. Now that's officiating, what is that?
Well, we've seen the last few weeks. This is as bad as an NBA playoff or where they pencil in Florida and Alabama. Now, Florida knows, and Alabama both know we whipped that ass. They both know it. And they know it, and they realize this is basically, knowing the level of effort we got with the talent we had and what the talent they had, they realize this is a tainted championship for them. It's tainted. They know it. And
what?
they can see the future coming.
How about that interference call down there on the 10-yard line after they called that holding penalty on us, after their cornerback came on a blitz and busted his assignment, and Crompton rolled out there, and they committed a penalty there, and there was no call after that phantom hold, which, by the way, that phantom hold was called by the same official who came across the field and marked that ball back on the previous sequence before Tennessee picked up that first down. Now, was I seeing things, or did that happen?
Well, we all know. We understand the home cookie down there in Tuscaloosa with Lurleen and the Yellow Hammers. By the way, every Tennessee fan today, after you have your meal and you go to the bathroom, take a Yellow Hammer, okay? They know, and those boys all know, they got their butts whipped today, and they know it. And see, in 1965, when Saber throws the ball out of bounds, Bear Bryant knew we were as good as they were, and it was going to be a long, hard row. And those clowns down there know it, too. They know it today. And those football fans, they'll be talking that smack and all that yak, going to win by 30 and all that. And I said, you know, but you know what? Today, they found out there's a new sheriff in town. Now, if we had Flagler and the boys, we would have lost this game by 28 points.
It would not even been funny. Exactly. Would have been to lay down Sally.
There's this thing as a moral victory. But what's you've played sports. You know that when you're in a rebuilding situation and you've got a lot of dead wood you had to clean out of your program, guys who wouldn't or couldn't play. The thing I love about this environment is this reminds me of 1964 and 65 without stabbing the back Shaquille Daddy, because these guys are about it. They're going to get players in here. And when we get almost equal talent with these clowns, we are going to kick that ass. To all you Alabama and Florida fans, to you T-Blow boys, and all you Yellow Hammer crackers, you know the beatdown's coming. And see, they know it, Tony. They know it. They sense it. There's a brand new sheriff in town. They can talk that yak and all they want to, but the Alabama-Florida game, if they both make it, it'll be a tainted championship. They know they had that butt whipped by it.
It's tainted, and I thank you for the call.
Tainted championship.
Unbelievable. Thank you. Unbelievable call today. That was next level right there. Next level. Going back to the phones. If you want to jump in with us, just call the show, and I'll get you up here. Welcome to the fifth quarter. Who's up?
Cross.
What's up, you there? Telling you what, no job, no daughter. No callers, no fifth quarter. Very simple. I'm going back to the phones. Hello and welcome to the fifth quarter. Hello? We've got to figure out a better way to do this. Do I say that every week? Yeah, I say that every week. Hey, what's the legalized definition of insanity? Just doing the same crap every week. Hello? Welcome to the show. Who's us? Participate. Northern Middle, hello. You don't believe me. You people don't believe me, do you, that I'm going to do this? East and North Alabama, you there? Hey, guys. Well, it was a lot of fun today on the fifth quarter. Hope you all have a good day. Great talking to everybody. Good night. Have a great night. You don't believe me. Have a good one. Love you all. Bye. And I thought about walking away and just saying the hell with this. That's how I'm pissed right now. And I'm in one of those moods where I don't want to talk to anybody till Monday. But I'm back. I don't know why I'm back, but I'm back. But I'll tell you this right now. I need you to call this, and I need you to help me make this thing work, because I'm not going to talk to myself. And this is not publicity. I'm not playing around. And so call in, get online, and let's talk about it. Okay? But I'm not taking this, okay? Now, tonight's game was completely painful. Aaron Andrews is dressed like, well, Sally Field as the Flying Nun back in the day. And Florida has, well, hideous uniforms. And Alabama is the original, they are the original Regal Society of college football, I've decided after today. That's what they are. And Tennessee lost a game today that really they had absolutely an opponent thoroughly outplayed. And it made me sick. And it makes me sick. And it bothers me. And they got every call. And you know the call they got? You know the call they got that really gets to me? Sure as I'm sitting here with you tonight. Thousands and thousands strong. And by the way, 724-444-744. ID number 61744. Then hit the pin at the bottom of your screen. And other than that, if you can get through, then you're a candidate to go to medical school. You can apply for your residency after that, after you get through. Because it is, could it be any harder to call this thing? I don't know. I don't think so. You know what really grabs me, though? What really gets me is that the officials in this conference choke. They choke. When it was time to stand up and make a call and make a statement, I was just talking to a gentleman who's great friends with somebody on the inside at South Carolina. South Carolina had just played Alabama. This just happened a second ago. He called me and he said, I heard you blow up. You need to go back on the air and here's why. You need to tell the listener this. So to all those people like South Texas Falls who have left us in Northern Middle and East and North Alabama and the rest of you schleps who are quitters, because I'm not. The rest of you schleps are quitters. You quitters. You soiled quitters. By the way, go into the chat boards right now and tell them that we're on here. I'm going to tell you the truth right now. Truth is, this conference wants two teams in the BCS, and they see an opportunity to have Florida and Alabama play for a national championship, and I believe this. And you can call me a conspiracy theorist all you want, but there was a phantom, and this is what he was told. He said, we got some whistles in that last game. We went back on tape, and we're looking at the game. He said, somebody in the support capacity at South Carolina. So we were in the film room with the coaches and said, we were told point blank, oh, the league wants us. The league wants us to lose. The league wants Alabama and Florida. Because the drumbeat is already starting to happen that they're those two best teams in the country and they can turn around and play for a national championship. And the league sees gold and the league sees money. And it's about the Benjamins, after all. I don't need to tell you that. Many of you are season ticket holders spending several thousand dollars a year. But just as Michael Jordan's son won't play for another shoe company, you know, big money, corporate money, big money is pulling the strings on a lot of this. Alabama, with their $4 million coach, today, he got his fanny handed to him by a team that was a two-touchdown underdog in his building. They held on for dear life. Lane Kiffin, great job. One criticism. When there's 31 seconds on the game and you're on the 31-yard line or the 25-yard line in that vicinity, Jimmy Hines, tell me which one, you've got to run a couple more plays there and try to get to the sticks. You have got to try something. You cannot leave it up to Greg Burke at that point to win the game for you. You can't. And I'm so glad this McElwain guy is so brilliant and Nick Saban is so brilliant. You know what was brilliant? John Crompton's play today was brilliant. John Crompton threw some great balls today. And our play calling today was brilliant. Our play calling today was brilliant. We're going back to the phones. I'm going to grab Pablo, who's next. So see how Pablo put himself in queue? Yeah, mine's in low def too, Pablo. ESPN's HD is messed up. Mine is in low, mine. And you know what, Pablo? When I look out there, Pablo, on that field right now, I see a rinky-dink football stadium with crummy turf, with a bad ball that Demps just caught with his knee on the ground, and then dropped the ball. What are you looking at?
Well, Tony, what I'm looking at is I think Mike Slive has contacted ESPN and told them to broadcast this game in low def so the underdogs fans can't see the calls going against them, so they can keep their Florida-Alabama 1-2 SEC championship matchup intact.
That's what that was all about today. Listen, people say, well, you're just an idiot and you're a conspiracy theorist and this and that. Hey, listen, there were some phantom calls in that game today, and there were a couple times where the official on the far side of the field came in and had the spot. And
you're right.
The guy on the near side of the field took the ball out of his hands.
You're right.
And Crompton was able to tippy-toe down the line of scrimmage and find the first down on that play. I don't think they thought we were going to go for it there. But he was able to get the first down. And then the very next play, what did they call? The very next play, that same official threw a flag, and what did he call? A hold.
Yep.
And then two plays later, when they got us in a bad down and distance, and Crompton threw that ball out in the left flat down there to the 10-yard line, was that an interference? Yes. Did they show us a replay of that?
Nope.
I was looking for Tony Schiavone and Jesse the Body Ventura and Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler up in that broadcast booth today.
I tell you, and the thing with, even though there was a couple calls, I mean, when did Daniel Lincoln forget how to kick a ball high? I mean, it's hard to blame it on a kicker, and I really thought that Lane should have tried a couple shots at the end zone. We still had about 40 seconds to go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're in field goal range, and you got to have a kicker that can go out there and make a 45-yarder to win ball games for you. And I mean, we didn't block overly well, but Lincoln just had no height on that kick. As soon as it left his foot, you could tell it was going to be blocked. He kicked it so low. And, I mean, Tony, we went from when we got that onside kick back, I mean, 10 friends on the phone, you know, here, this is it. This is Kiffin's signature win. We're back to the blocked field goal. There's going to be a lot of people inebriated in Tennessee tonight after that game.
Buddy, we have, you know what the truth is? We've learned how to lose. And now we have to learn how to win.
Yep.
We have learned how to lose. Give me a second there. Hang on. That's Chris Burke. I don't do this for just anybody. You carry on the show for me here. Go ahead. Carry on.
Okay. Like Tony was saying, he's going to step off and go talk to Berkey boy. But, I mean, we had a chance to win that game. A short kick. I mean, a 47-yarder, and Lincoln comes up short, two block field goals. I mean, poor Sellens just got blown up on both of those plays. But you know, just wasn't just low kicks. And
how about this one?
What
were Lee Tiffin's kicks? If his kicks were low, Lee
50.
Kicks looked like they were shot out of the jugs gun.
Tony, why is it that every team we played this year has kickers that can kick the ball from 50 yards and just boot it? I mean, UCLA, Auburn, you just go down the list and we've played against teams that have guys that can just launch kicks, hit big-time kicks from far out, and we get two under 50 that we need to win a ball game, and we can't hit either one of them.
Because we're a loser.
Three of them. I mean,
we're a loser football team.
Whew.
Alabama 81 says this. If I were Bama, I'd be a little worried about the rest of the season. Alabama has no offense, and they better learn to score. You're exactly right. Alabama. That's number one in America, and Florida's number two, then we're a top 20 team.
That's true. I mean, we played the number one and two teams in the country down to the wire, and truly today we should have won, and there's a couple plays in that Florida game that we could have won that ball game as well. I mean, it shows you how close we are to being right back at the top, but it's like you said, Tony, we've gotten used to that attitude of we're not going to win big games, and Kiffin is trying to get that Fulmer out of the program and get us back believing that no matter what happens, we're going to win. But we're going to win games when it comes down to the crunch time. And right now, this team, I don't They battled, though. I mean, man, you caused Ingram to have his first fumble and strip it from a beast like that. And I mean, this team had no quit in them. And I've seen Tennessee teams give up a lot sooner in the past couple of years. So he's trying to right the ship.
Pablo, there's no doubt. And the other thing is that we scored the first touchdown on them in some time since they gave up one to Kentucky. And here's my deal. When you get the ball at the 30-yard line and there's 41 seconds left, I know you have no timeouts. I can dig that. You have got to get it 10 to 15 yards closer for this Lincoln guy.
Yep.
This guy
does not
have the leg to kick it from – I've never seen a Division I kicker, no offense to him, who cannot make a kick of over 40 yards.
I agree.
His long on the season is 42 yards. And I mean, it is just barely. When you go to watch him in practice, it is just barely that he can get it there from that distance. That poor guy.
Well, I mean, Kiffin's got a replacement coming in next year that supposedly can bomb it. But, I mean, and Tony, I'm with you. You got 40 seconds. They're going to be in the prevent defense. The middle of the field is going to be open. You can hit a 10 to 15 yarder, get up and clock the ball. You can probably do that twice and maybe even have a chance to get the ball in the end zone. Don't leave it up to Daniel Lincoln to win that game for you.
That was loser football.
It was the same thing as UCLA game. We ran the ball four times in a row at the goal line because Crump did not display that he could win that game for us. Today, Daniel Lincoln didn't display he could win that game for us, and we tried to ride him one more time, and same result. So,
well, Pablo Vall, welcome Husker Chad to the fifth quarter.
Get in here, Husker.
Husker Chad, what's going on, brother? Husker Chad, are you there?
Yeah, he might be a Nebraska fan, Tony. That's a weak conference.
Husker Chad's not there. Yeah, he's Husker Chad's trying to make me go postal again like I did in my last segment. Okay, Bronco ZR, where are you? Berkey's wondering how he calls in. Okay, to call the show, Berkey, dial 724-444-7444. And then the ID number, Berkey, you'll see, is 61744. And then hit the pin at the bottom of the screen. And then hit request to talk at the top of the screen. And you come in there as Berkey. Chris Burke, I want Berkey in here because Berkey's feeling it. Berkey called a win. Berkey called me this morning or texted me this morning and said, I feel it. As I woke up today, Pablo Vall, I don't know about you, but I thought in my heart of hearts we were winning that game.
I thought
we were down 9 with 3 minutes left that something weird was going to happen. We outplayed them. We outplayed them on offense. We outhit them.
Yep.
And Cody, you
tell me we held them to 12 points for the day, and there's no doubt in my mind we win that game. Even with our offense, I thought we would find a way to get a couple touchdowns, and we held them to 12 points. You got to win that ball game.
Pablo, thank you. You're the man. You want to jump in? 546-21. Oh, sorry. That's not going to do you much good. Maisie, get in here. Talk to me. What'd you think of that, Maisie?
Hey, what's up, Tony?
How painful was that? On the pain scale, 1 to 10, 10 being the worst.
9.9, easily. 1990 to me hurt worse. Hang on a second. Let me take off speakerphone. Hang on.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned to the fifth quarter. That is a positive effect. Pause for the cause. The Yankees and Anaheim have been postponed due to rain. Mississippi mistake on fourth down and four, lining up to kick a field goal. Derek DePasquale, who looks like a made man, wears number 40, lining it up. 43 yards out. It's on the way, and it is Lincoln. Are you watching? Hits the screen. Lincoln, are you watching? About to have a freaking coronary. What happened to Maisie? Maisie left us. See, I'm telling you tonight. What happened to Maisie? Maisie, where'd you go? You muted yourself. Are you back?
Tony, I'm back.
Hit it, Maisie.
That one hurt bad, man. That one hurt bad. That felt like 1990 all over again to me.
No question.
God.
Here's the difference. They're us and we're them.
Yeah, exactly.
They would have talked about the finish of that game for like we have for 20 years.
And I guess that's why that game hurts me more than this one did. This one's devastating, but that one still, I'll never, ever forget that game, ever, because of the fact that we were so good that year and they were so very average or poor. But, listen, I heard you talking earlier, and I didn't think about it, but by rule, when he ripped his helmet off, is that supposed to be a penalty, even though the clock?
Absolutely.
Really?
Right there. If there's time on the clock, and there is, at that point, there's a second and a half or 2 seconds left on that clock. The official is supposed to catch that. That's supposed to be a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, and Tennessee, from that spot, should get a re-kick. That is the rule. And that is Gary Danielson. Gary Danielson said that. That's exactly
right. Did he? Okay. I was so – once it happened, I just went into shutdown mode, and I didn't even know what was going on. But, listen, I hate to be a pin a loss on anybody, but our poor place kicker, man, that dude – he's just, you know, the first one you could tell he kicked really high to avoid a block, comes up a yard short, and then he comes back with two line shots right into the line of scrimmage that, you know, if you're on scholarship and you're playing at a school like Tennessee, if you can't kick a ball high enough and long enough to make a 50-yard field goal, then what are you doing out there? But, at the same time, I guess the only thing that was a little bit distraughting to me and I couldn't figure out was Kiffin knows the guy's limitations and knew the two kicks prior, the short one and the block. I wish he would have tried his best to get it down to about the 20 or something instead of the 30. I wish that would have happened.
And that's the only thing Kiffin did in that game that I can fault.
That guy
and his staff, they coached their nuts off. Next level, Mississippi State leading 3-0.
That was incredible. And you could tell just out there at that little handshake when Saban was talking to Kiffin there, you know, Saban was like, dude, you whipped our ass, you coached us up and down, and I'm just going to get in the locker room and get out of here because you beat us.
You know what that is, though, dude? That's for losers. And it's okay for now. And I'm with you. I'm with everybody saying that. But you know what we are? We become a program. And this is born from Fulmer. We become a program of almost.
Yep.
We're a cute little football team right now. So if you look at and you look at the level of play that we've exhibited this year, Lane Kiffin said after today's game that he was shocked that they only had one penalty in that game, talking about Alabama.
Yeah.
Well, Lane, don't be shocked. Welcome to the Southeastern Conference. The league is
exactly.
It costs $1. Don't be shocked, Lane. Don't be shocked.
You said that when it was 12-3, you said you felt something. I was like, there's no way. We're not going to score 10 points. But when we got that onside kick, I about literally had a heart attack. And I thought, there is no – I'll die if we get down there and kick a field goal and win this game. It was just going to blow my mind. I was telling the guy I was sitting with watching, I was like, you know, the Fulmerites or anybody, if they even want to say anything, they're 3-4, and they're 1-3 in the SEC, and the people who are in the other schools in the SEC are still like, well, you're not doing any better with Kiffin than you did Fulmer. Listen, there's no doubt. If we walk in there today with a Fulmer coach team, they just beat us into submission, and it's a 24-7 loss or something stupid like that, just like last year when they just sort of meandered away and pounded us to submission. They beat us, whatever it was, 30-9 or whatever the final score was. That would have happened today. We out physicaled them. We beat them. The second half, we pounded them in the second half.
It took them over a quarter to get a first down. Billy Hyams, Put that in your pipe and smoke it while you're breaking down your statistics.
Oh, God.
What is that? It took them over a quarter in their own building to get a first down.
Hey,
all that recruiting artillery with those two great running backs they have, with Julio Jones.
It was 18 minutes to 12 minutes at halftime, time of possession. And the final
today.
And the final, the final was 32.5 to 27.5. We held the ball in the second half 20 minutes to their 10.
Thank you.
Gosh, darn it, man.
Sick. It makes you sick, doesn't it?
Doesn't it make you sick? Yeah. The more I sit and vent about it, this one hurts as bad as 1990, except for the fact that we were just so darn good and they were so bad. But, yeah, listen, I guess one of two things is going to happen before I let you go. One of two things is going to happen.
Yeah.
Either A, we're going to look at ourselves and go, you know what? God darn it, we're a darn good football team, and we should have won that game, and we're going to go, and we're going to beat everybody the rest of the way. Ole Miss, all them clowns, we're going to go 8-4. Or, which I don't think will happen but could happen, we go like, you know what? What the crap just happened, and we go into meltdown mode. I don't think that'll happen. No, I don't think it'll happen. I think under Fulmer it probably would. Under this regime, I don't feel it. There's no doubt in my mind that we're going 8-4. There's no doubt in my mind. We're just too darn good. We are such a darn good football team to be 3-4. It's crazy.
It's disgusting.
But
we're the best 3-4 football team, and the best coach 3-4 football team, Mike Keith, in the history of the world. Nate, thank you. I love you.
Thanks,
it's
man.
Sick. It is like 1990. It is like 1990. And we had a chance to stick it to them. Now, there's this sheep who's been on the show this week, all week. Clint RJB says, is this a moral win, guys? No. I don't care about moral. No. I want to ask this Bama clown that's been here, Tide Roller. Tide Roller, are you listening to me, Tide Roller? Watch the chat message here. I'm going to ask Tide Roller something. Tide Roller, are you there? If yes, if you're there, Tide Roller. Tide Roller. Let's interact in real time here, Tide Roller. Tide Roller, are you proud of Alabama? The way they played? The way they conducted themselves on the field? The number of calls you got away with? The way you were holding on for dear life down the stretch in that game? Tide Roller. And by the way, Tide Roller, did you get your name from that former wide receiver, DJ Hall? Let's see who's next with us. Daryl, I'm going to come to you. Daryl, have something to say. By the way, put yourself in queue and let me know you're there and that you want to talk and put yourself in queue. Which one is Berkey? Berkey,
only a matter of time before you're ruined.
Who's this?
Because they play for keeps there.
Who's this?
Tony.
Yeah.
It's realist.
Welcome to the show, brother. What'd you think?
Oh, well, I know you're awfully upset, and I can understand it, but my friend and I were watching it, and we think it was a very good effort. I try to look at it here optimistically.
Awesome effort. It's not a good effort.
It was an awesome effort.
Awesome effort.
Yeah, and I'm not, did you think that the officials cheated us?
Did they official what?
Did you think that the officials slighted us?
We got jobs. We got
jobs. On which play? On which play?
How about the phantom holding penalty? How about the no interference call? How about the two bad spots? How about the
the spot on fourth down one time, right?
Bad spots. Yes.
What about the Terrence Cody ripping his helmet off? Could that have been a penalty?
Terrence Cody at the end of the game, by rule, if there's time remaining on the clock, and the official spots him ripping the helmet off in celebration.
Yep.
On the field of play, supposed to be a 15-yard penalty from that spot, re-spot the ball, kick the ball with no time left on the clock.
But did he rip it off? There was one – how many seconds were left when he kicked it?
There was a second left, and he ripped the helmet off in the field of play while that play was still going on.
But was the clock at zero?
I'm telling you what Gary Danielson said, who covers you a game week in and week out. The officials could have called that if they wanted to call it.
Okay.
Gary Danielson said that is a call that could have been made. Not should have been made. Could have been. Here's my problem with this
could've
league.
Been.
Here's my problem with this league. This league will call things. They'll go out of their way to call things like last week to help Alabama win a game.
Right.
You hell will freeze over before we get a call like that.
True. But I thought the bottom line to me is if Lincoln hits that field goal earlier in the game, a 47-yarder that was short by about a yard, we have a one-point lead there at the end, and we may win. It would have been a different game, obviously, because Alabama would have played it differently in the fourth quarter, perhaps. But still, we have that field goal in the hand, and we don't have to go for a desperation field goal at the end.
Now,
what do you think?
Here's the other thing. I don't know how differently realist Alabama plays. You know why? They couldn't get a first down. They couldn't move the ball on us. Their quarterback was null and void. And when they ran that wildcat package, Monty Kiffin showed them something they haven't seen. He put 11 guys in the box, and he put his safeties up after the first three series. And he said, you didn't take advantage of it in the first half. You're not getting anything off of it in the second half. And for as brilliant as Jim McElwain and their offensive staff is supposed to be, if you're them and you have second down on the goal line there, second down on the goal line, you mean to tell me you're going to throw the ball twice and not run that wildcat formation when we had stops the entire time? What would you have done there?
Yeah, I would have run it again out of the wildcat, given it to Ingram. Definitely.
That was the biggest no-brainer in the history of Earth.
Well, I think the good thing out of this is that our quarterback seems to have really had the light come on in his head, and I think the rest of the season, I think we should win South Carolina, and those last three, and the only one in question would be Ole Miss. If we play this well at Ole Miss, I think we could very easily win that one. We may lose it. It's a flip. It's a toss. But I think we go 4-1 the last few games.
Wouldn't it be great to get to 7 wins?
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to be 7-5, I think.
And the second least penalized team in the conference.
Right. Although we had a few penalties today.
You know what, though?
That hurt.
Yeah, we did. Alabama had one penalty today. All that gesticulating they did on the field, all that celebrating after every single play, and there was one call. God, I love the consistency. I love the consistency in this conference.
Cheap, wasn't it?
Is it a rule? Is it a rule or is it not a rule?
It
My
is.
God, A.J. Green isn't allowed to celebrate, but Alabama, their punter is allowed to run off the field flexing his muscles. He's allowed to celebrate, but A.J. Green's not allowed to celebrate. I'm waiting for him to throw a flag on somebody for praying. Seriously, we'll have a ref there from the ACLU.
Bring Jesse Jackson into it.
Exactly.
Al Sharpton.
Exactly. Or, to that example, Chris Matthews and Keith Oberman. But I hope you
Thanks, Tony.
Day. Thank you, brother. I love it. See, when I'm on the air, and I'm not on the air right now, I don't bring politics into it. When I'm on my website, if you don't like those comments, screw you. Get you some of that. Pra, how you doing? Pra.
Pra.
Fifth quarter.
How's it going, Tony?
Oh, sorry. Just trying to wake you up there, brother. How you doing?
All right, I guess. Tony, how you doing?
I feel like my dog died and somebody just kicked me in the teeth. But other than that, things are great.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Kind of makes you appreciate Holland Baseball from back in the day, don't it?
Makes you appreciate what?
Holland Becksport, our kickers from the 90s.
Yeah, it really does. Jeff Hall right now looks like a bronze Adonis, okay, compared to what we have.
I'll tell you what, Tony, if somebody told you before the game that Ingram would have won rush for 100 yards and that Alabama wouldn't have had a touchdown the whole game, what would you have said?
Win?
Yeah, me too. I tell you what, I don't care what anybody says. Kiffin has got to be the best defensive coach I've in the history of football. I mean, I don't know. This I think as long as he's here, we're unlike Palmer, where we'll get blown out every fourth, fifth game. We're going to be in every game. I mean, I feel sick right now, but, you know, maybe a month from now, you look back, Alabama probably number one because they'll get all the calls. And well, you look back and you'll see that really we're going to be in every ball game.
You know what I love about our team? That we have a coaching staff that coaches to win games. And Urban Meyer can say what he wants to say. We have a coach today who went for it on fourth down on the negative side of the field. And that announcer and those guys thought, and Vern Lundquist with his uncle, his crazy grandfather laugh that he's got going in the booth, he's got to go, ha, ha, ha! What's he thinking? He's on the sports talk round table. I mean, what is that? Do you think he's John Pennington? Anyway, I say this to you with all sincerity. Does Philip Fulmer coach that game the way that man coached that game today?
No, he doesn't. It's gonna be like it was last year, where 30-6, whatever. We got the crap kicked out of us, so
we would have gone on the JOK.
I don't know. The last 2 minutes, until the last second, everything was just going our way, and I just had a feeling, and like this was our game. You know, this was it. You know, this is when people took Kit Lane seriously, and we just got a rip from us. I mean, it hurts. It hurts bad.
Oh, it hurt. What really makes it hurt to me is I turned to the lovely Miss B at the end of that game and I said, we're about to do a 1990 all over again to them. We're going to do a reverse 90 to them. We're going to let them feel what it feels like when Gary Hollingsworth beat us, because they're going to get beat by John Crompton. 20 years from now, those fans are going to be talking about how John Crompton came into their building and took a national championship from them when they had a $4 million football coach. And he's already way out of there. And then they're on their seventh coach from now at Alabama, because it's like Liz Taylor and wives with them and football coaches, or husbands I should say. But any other observations? Here's one thought for you. I see you're a young man, 26 years of age. First of all, did you ever play any soccer, and do you have any eligibility left? And thirdly, wouldn't you, if you were Lane Kiffin already, have opened this thing up and put out a posted stuff around the fraternities and around campus? We are looking for a former soccer player to come kick the ball off for us. These kickoffs coming down at the 23-yard line with no hang time, that's got to go, man. I'm sorry. Daniel Lincoln's one thing, but we have a punter that can neither punt nor kick. Now, I don't know how that's happened, but we're a Division I school, right?
What happened to us? We Palmer depended on the Colquitt family just to keep bringing them in, and we lucked out in that, you know, they left. The last brother was gone last year, and now we're left with nothing.
Oh. God. Is Colquitt out there? Do they have a cousin?
I don't know. They all came from Bearden. You figure somebody from Bearden could remember what they taught.
Exactly. Or does Jerry Colquitt have a cousin? Can we go get one of his cousins?
I don't know. Hey, before I get off here, Tony, you might want to call Double A. He's at the game tonight, wasn't he?
Double A was at the game, and he sent me a note at the end of the third quarter that he and an Alabama fan got into a shoving match.
Oh, really, Lord, he didn't pick a fight with a 12-year-old, did he?
Thank you. Yeah, he was picking on somebody a little older than him. Thank you, Pro. Have a good night. On the fifth quarter this evening, I love when people bash Double A. It's so next level. Who am I going to here? I got to find Berkey. Which one of these is Berkey? Berkey, is that you? Berkey's in this needle, in this haystack. Berkey, is that you? Berkey, where are you? Hello, who's this? Who's this? Berkey, is that you? Hey, Broncos ER coordinating the show tonight. Who's that? Hello? Broncos ER coordinating tonight's show. You better get me a caller on hold. Oh, you love listening to Double A, Pro? I don't. You better get me a double A is a sophomoric knucklehead. That's nothing. Florida and Mississippi State are tied at 3. Exactly, Pra. He's the next Tony Basilio. He's a sophomore knucklehead who adds nothing. Yes, if you want to call the show, number 724-444-7444, ID number 61744. Let me give you a quick score check of your top 25 games. South Carolina, 7:52 to go in the second quarter. They're on top of Vanderbilt, 7-0. Oklahoma rolls Kansas like a bad joint cigarette. 35-24. West Virginia breaks Connecticut's already broken heart, 28-24. Texas Tech trailing Texas A&M, 21-14. Pittsburgh, how about Dave Wannstedt there? I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, you throw a little Just for Men gel there, Cowgirl Kate, and that mustache of his, and he's rolling with Nolan. Utah today survives a scare against Air Force. They win that one 23-16. Ohio State over Minnesota, 38-7. Where's the love coach when you need him? Houston on top of SMU, 7-0. Oklahoma State destroys Baylor, 34-7. Penn State, no problem with Todd's Michigan boys, 35-10 is your score there. Oregon blows out Washington, 43-19. Georgia Tech, 11 in America, 34-9 over Virginia. TCU on top of BYU, 14-0 at BYU. LSU on top of Auburn, 3:41 to play in the first quarter there, 7-0 to score. Clemson comes from behind, defeats Miami 40-37, the final in overtime. Iowa and Michigan mistake, 2:30 to go in the half. First half, that is. 3-3 your score there. Hawaii and Boise State play tonight at 11 o'clock. For the sickos like me, they'll be up watching that. I'll be up watching that, and I will be watching UFC on any of a number of rogue websites. Huge UFC card tonight. Will you join me on your local rogue website? Turn off your spam blocker. Cincinnati blows out Louisville. Cincinnati with a backup quarterback scores 41 points today. Philip Fulmer is desperately trying to get the Louisville job. USC, Oregon State later, or Missouri and Texas later. 15 minutes to go in the second quarter. Just underway. The second quarter is just underway. And Florida and Mississippi State are knotted at 3. 13:25 to play in the first half there. Florida facing a third down and 4 from the mistake, 27 yard line. We get ready to jump back to our phones. I'm telling you that's a touchdown. Tim Tebow, is he sick? I despise him. I'm so tired of him. His family. He is disgusting how easy he makes us look. Look at him. He can't play in the NFL. Based on what? He can't play in the NFL based on what? Because he runs over linebackers? Because he outruns guys in secondary in this conference? Oh, I got it. He's not tough enough. Berkey's on hold. Berkey just sent me a text telling me he's on hold. Berkey's big time. Got to get to Berkey. See, Berkey, which one are you? Do I know who you are, Berkey? Berkey, send me a text. Which one are you? You Northern Middle? Are you coming in as Daryl tonight? Are you double A? Double A, what's up?
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
I'm off mute.
Double A, what's up?
How heartbreaking is that?
Double A, I've never in my life, and I'm going to try to find Berkey here, I've never in my life, you were at the game. Give it to me. I told him about that confrontation you had with the Alabama fan in the third quarter, and you did represent. But share with me your thoughts coming out.
I absolutely, Tony, I absolutely put on for Tennessee today. I was surrounded by 75 or 80 Alabama fans. The majority of them went 3 Bills, even the women. They were so obnoxious, Tony. They were so obnoxious to me. They would not shut up the whole telling me got 12, telling me calling him Lane Kitten. I don't even know what that means.
They were calling him Lane Kitten.
I don't know what a Lane Kitten is. I've never seen an uncool cat. I don't even know if that's an insult. But that's what they were telling me, Tony.
Lane Kitten? That's the best they can do. Berkey, do you like the Alabama fans, how unoriginal they are? Berkey, are you there? What happened to Berkey? Berkey just left me. Berkey, what happened to Berkey? Why did Berkey leave me?
I don't know. We need to get Berkey him back.
Berkey said 28. He just hung up on me. He didn't like that.
He brings
tell me about Lane. So they were calling him Lane Kitten, and you got in their show. Okay, I want your thoughts on what we saw today. In person, was the officiating as bad as it looked on television in person?
Well, I mean, and I made sure that everyone around me knew that the officiating was going to be rigged to start the game. I said that we would be getting the bad calls. I told everyone around me that would listen that we are the least penalized team in the conference coming into this game, and I guarantee you I would bet $100 that we would have more penalties than them. And I don't know the final stats, but we had to have more than 75 yards, more than penalties than them. We outplayed them in every single facet of the game except special teams.
Double A, how did they respond to your repeat violator T-shirt?
I kind of won over a lot of the fans because of just my my charm and my wit and my boyish good looks. I think I won over a lot of their fans, so they were actually pretty nice to me after about the second quarter, and but. It was so tough, but I'm so proud of this team, and I'm so proud of Jonathan Crompton. He absolutely shredded that defense. Ryan Mallett, Jevin Sneed, these guys, Tyrod Taylor, these guys couldn't do what he did today, and this was on the road in a hostile environment, and that those fans, they came up to me after the game, and they said, Lane Kiffin, that guy can coach. And we're going to have our hands full in a couple of years. And you know what? They're right.
They know right now that they were flat-out lucky to get out of their building with a victory. Flat-out on national television, out-possessed, out-played, out-hit, out-executed. And that play Dennis Rogan made on that onside kick when they had him take out Julio Jones, does that guy compete? What is that?
I'm sure the people get tired of me saying it, but I'm going to keep doing it. Is Dennis Rogan makes plays. I'll tell you every week until he's gone. He makes plays. That guy played an A-plus game today. He was matched up against some NFL caliber receivers. Did he recover the fumble? I never did hear who recovered the fumble and who caused it.
The fumble, who came out of there with it? Rogan came out of there with the fumble.
Rogan. Makes plays, Tony. The guy makes plays.
The guy makes plays. The guy made plays all day. The guy makes plays. By the way, Vanderbilt just returned a kickoff for a touchdown on South Carolina. That game's 7 apiece right now. Rogan caused the fumble. As well, Kendrell Kate astutely points out, Rogan, as guest 81 said, and somebody said it better, Rogan's getting better and better and better and better as time goes on.
Exactly. And you know what? They tried to test him down there in the corner with Julio, as I call him, and Rogan called him. Tried to test him in the corner, and some of the worst play calling I've ever I'm not sure why they quit running the Wildcat when they were there inside the five. I don't know what that was, or they tried to get too cute, and they tried to test Dennis Rogan, and he held his own. But the fact remains is that Tennessee went into the number one team in the country. Okay, that team, the Alabama Crimson Tide, had everything to play for. Tennessee was a 3-3 team, has really nothing to play for other than pride. They
absolutely
have more talent at every single position on the field.
Absolutely. Hang on 1 second. House cleaning.
Yes.
I want Chris Burke to call back in. Burke, the living Vol fan, is holding on, waiting on you. And I'm going to tell you this. I haven't been able to say this back on the air. Berkey, please call back in. And guess 233, I will take your call. I love Berkey. I'm a man right there. X has sworn me to secrecy on a couple things. I alluded to them in my blog, okay? I'm going to tell you this right now. And I'm going to get some reaction from him and the rest of those guys. They told several of the top recruits, we want you to take note of this Alabama game, and we want you guys to see, this is the tack they're using, we want you to see how close we are to competing for a national championship. Not 2 years from now. We want you to come next year and become a part of something special. And AA, you know, because you follow recruiting astutely, and you're going to be doing some recruiting shows over here at TonyBasilio.com, that several of those recruits are midterm guys. Midterm guys that they're talking to. It is unbelievable.
I can't stress to you and the Vol fans how important that is. That's the equivalent of, it's almost like a redshirt year. Because if you come in as a freshman, if you don't play, really the only practice you get is fall camp, okay? And these guys are coming in, they're getting 3 weeks of spring practice, and they're going to throw them right in the fire, especially at the quarterback position. It is so huge. And how many kids were in there in that stadium, in Brian Dennehy Stadium tonight? They were guests of the University of Alabama, paid who knows how much money they made this weekend. But sit there and we're pulling for the Tennessee Vols to make that kick. I would bet a handful of them at least.
It was unbelievable. Anybody that's a sports fan had to be cheering for Tennessee at the end of that game tonight. Volman 320, what's up?
What's going on, brother?
Brother, I want your thoughts. Double A and Tusky. You got me here. You got Nick and Tusky as well. Does it rip your heart out what we saw today, or does it make you hearten for the future? Because it does a little bit of both to me. I about quit earlier.
Well, it did. When early that the fourth quarter after we missed the field goal, I just thought, well, it's over. And I just thought, let's just try to keep them from getting a touchdown. Hopefully we can run the clock out. But I tell you, when we fumbled the ball, when we got the fumble, and I mean just drove down that the 2 minute offense, you know, and then it just, I was excited that we had a bigger moral victory. And then, man, when we got that onside kick, I couldn't believe it. I just could not believe it. But I was so worried about Lincoln kicking it or Cunningham. That worried me to death. I just wish we could have maybe thrown another couple more plays in the middle of the field. But, you know, I'm torn. I'm so happy that we played so hard. And, you know, but I'm also so frustrated that we got to wait another year to get those guys. But, you know, it was a great game. I mean, our defense played so well. Our offense played so well in the second half, kept our defense off the field. I mean, you just can't beat that. And I tell you, the refs, you know, every time one ref spotted the ball, they always went with the guy that was farther back. You know, it was just ridiculous.
And happened. And you know what? Usually I'm not a guy that says stuff like that, and I'm generally not a blame the ref guy. There was one of those guys today, the line judges, one of those guys had a poor spot, and every time they took the spot that hurt Tennessee. And the two instances where it happened was the fourth down play where they forced Tennessee to go for it, and John Crompton went down the line and he got it. John Crompton's really grown up before our eyes. And you know what? God bless him. He took so much abuse earlier in the year, and I had so many people quietly tell me he's dumb and he can't play and he can't think. He shredded a defense today full of NFL players, and he made three or four what I would call professional football passes today. He made three or four passes today that you can't make unless you're excellent.
Yeah, he threw those balls that he threw to our running back. I mean, they were just bullets down the sideline. I mean,
they were.
You know, you just not many quarterbacks. You know, McElroy, that guy. I mean, He can't play. You know, Kiffin again has laid the groundwork for a defense to beat Alabama. You know, he did it with Florida. I think he did it with Alabama. It's just going to be a matter of time before somebody knocks those guys off. You know, but it was a good game. I'm just proud of them. You know.
Well, you know what? You should be, because we have a lot 320 to look forward to, and that's what I take out of that game. And somebody said it earlier. Generally, if you're 3-4, your season sucks and your season's over. This is the funnest 3-4 football season you could ever experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
These guys have played so well and so hard and play to the whistle and just make you so proud. And I just wish they could have sealed the deal in a couple of these games.
Well, I think
it's no sin. It is no sin losing to Auburn when you're what we have right now, when you have what we have, or Florida or Alabama. The UCLA game's another story, but it's no sin losing to those teams. It's really not.
No, I wish I could be at the game, the South Carolina game this week, but I think our fans are going to be jacked up next week. You know, I think they're going to be ready to play. I just don't see us have a letdown. From this game, I see very little negative unless we get into a field goal competition with them. That's the only thing I see negative. But I think our guys will be ready to play next week, and our fans should just be very encouraged by what they saw today.
I'm extremely encouraged. I can't believe, and Double A, get in here. Were the people in that place today, Double A, were they shocked at what they were seeing?
The
people around you.
The Alabama fans were flat-out stunned, Tony. They didn't know what was happening. And at the end of the game, you know, they tried to give me some little pity party, congratulatory, and I didn't accept it, you know, because I told them, you know, I don't want moral victories. And Lane Kiffin is not scared of Nick Saban, and you can go ahead and chalk Alabama up on my list of teams I'm no longer afraid of. You hear that? You can put that up there. You can put that up there with the Floridas and the Georgias, because if Coach Kiffin's not afraid of them, I'm not afraid of them. And they had better players at every single position, just about at least 20 of the positions on the field, and we outplayed them on the road.
Double A, you're happening. Vol Man 320, thank you, brother. Anything else you want to add tonight on the 5th?
Not much, buddy. Take care. I just love your show. I see you every day, man, and you guys just keep bringing it, brother.
I love you, man, because you're heart and soul. Thank you. You're what the Living Vol fan is all about. I want Chris Burke to call back in. I am requesting 242. Burkey, why? You're not there. Your phone. You cut off. Yo, dude, it's Burke. What's the deal? Let's go. Burkey, call me. Call back, Burkey. Florida's about to go in again. LSU's about to go in on Auburn.
Hey,
LSU's getting some stride here about them. Go ahead, Double A.
I just want to know, are you intimidated by the University of Alabama? Because you know what, coming into this season and last season, I was intimidated of Alabama. I thought they were going to own us for the next decade, but that is no longer the case with me.
No, they don't scare me. No. Listen, this coaching staff, when I see them manage a game the way I saw them manage a game today, forget about it, man. Forget about it. These guys are going to absolutely make it happen. And I wish so bad that Pilardi was already here. We all do. But, hey, our guys played so hard tonight. And played with such effort and such courage and such purpose. And 187, you better leave Burke alone about the baked ziti, or I'm gonna come through this board on you. I'm taking calls from fans 81. I'm taking calls from anybody who wants to call in. Here we go. Steve Govalls, are you there? Steve Govalls, what up? He's just listening. Oh, you're there. Okay, hang on, Steve Govalls. Steve Govalls, give it to me. What'd you think tonight?
How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing great, man. Well, actually, I'm not. I hung up, in case you missed it, about 45 minutes or so ago I hung up because I was getting urinated off, and I basically hung up on my own show for about 20 minutes.
No, that's what Bonner called me and said. He said his brother was listening to you, and you really got emotional about it. But let me tell you, you have every right to get emotional about it because this one stings. You're absolutely right when you say this is 1990 in reverse, or should have been. But like your last caller said, I am as happy as you can be in a 3-4 season and a loss. Because we're going to go, I'm going to say it right now, and I hope I don't jinx the team, but I think we're going to win out. I think we can handle Mississippi State. I think we can handle Jevon Snead. And at the beginning of the season, I was just hoping that we could, you know, maybe go a split between South Carolina and Ole Miss. But now I think we'll win out, go to a nice bowl, get some extra practice in, and show the midterm guys what they got to look forward to come spring practice. If we don't have 50,000, well, I'll take that back. We should have 70,000 to 80,000 people in spring practice next year because this team is poised to go and do what Pete Carroll's second-year team did. And that's because we went and got Boy Wonder as our head coach.
Double A, would you care to tackle that? We gonna go 11-1 next year there. Double A, are you feeling that woolly right now? Double A,
that's still pretty optimistic and sheepy, but
interesting.
Just because you know we got a lot of JUCO guys I think coming in, and a lot of freshmen, but if we can get the offensive line figured out, because you know Jonathan Crompton. The guy played like a professional quarterback today, whether you want to mean, as much as we hate on the guy the last two, I guess, 10 quarters or so has played like a first-round draft pick, and that's not an exaggeration, okay? Ryan Mallett will be a top 10 pick when he comes out, and he got flat-out outplayed against – I mean, Jonathan Crompton played probably three times better than him against Alabama's defense. So, if we can get good quarterback play –
What sickens me is that will be completely lost when you watch the college football shows tonight. They won't talk about how well Crompton has turned around these last two games, and that he really kept us in that game today. Because let's be honest, our running game was serviceable and it did what it needed to do. It allowed us to play action pass, but it certainly didn't set us up for anything.
And those national media guys, I'm just telling you, they are going to hold on as long as they possibly can to that the Lane Kiffin will fail. They're going to hold on to that and hold on to that and pimp that until they absolutely can't do it anymore. How any sane person, an rational person, an objective person can look at the way that this team has played the last month of the season and say that Lane Kiffin will not be successful here is beyond me. 3-4 or not, okay? This team has played two number one teams on the road, should have beaten one of them, and gave one of them the other one a scare.
No, you're exactly right. But that's the problem is, the problem, guys, and Steve Govall, before I start saying 11-1, I just want to learn how to win again. And before I start saying 4-1 down the stretch, I just want to start winning again. These guys have forgotten how to win football games, thanks to our last coach. And it's hard. It's hard to learn how to finish a deal. Today's a game where the deal should have gotten finished. That's a game where if you have kids that know how to win, you recover that onside kick there, you get that ball 10 yards or 15 yards closer, and you maybe even score a touchdown there to win that game, but you win that game because you did everything you needed to do.
Listen, it's hard enough for those kids to play against one team, but they were playing against two teams today, and the other team had striped shirts. Okay? So I think these kids know how to finish if they're given an opportunity. Okay? But some of these, you know, as we've seen in the SEC this year, some teams aren't given the opportunity to finish games.
There's no doubt about it. It is definitely a league that – wants to see right now Florida. I'll be curious to see if any of Florida's opponents or Alabama's opponents from here on out until they play each other get calls. Because today we got flat-out jobbed down the stretch in that game. We got jobbed.
I mean, Tony, do you think that it's a coincidence? And I don't like to blame the refs either, okay? The fact is, we should have won the game. I mean, we lost it ourselves. We cost ourselves the game by missing kicks. But do you think it's a coincidence that the least penalized team in the conference goes for, what, has 8 or 9 penalties? That's not a coincidence. That doesn't happen.
I agree.
I've watched football, you know, all my life, and I'm not sure I've ever seen – I didn't quite understand what the call was, but a block in the back on the coverage team on a
– No. It was a block below the waist, busting the wedge was the call there on a coverage team. So, in other words, he basically called him for a low bridge or it's essentially a trip from the front is the call there. Now, my problem with that call, Steve Govall in AA, is that when you call something like that, you better know that the guy did that willfully. In other words, that it was done purposely. To me, it looked like –
the guy was right behind the running back,
he fell forward. Exactly. He just fell forward. It almost looked like he was shoved anyway. And how many blocks from behind did they let go on when they screen passes? And they were just knocking our linebackers down from behind all the time past the line of scrimmage. You can't block people in the back like that.
Can you explain to me how you get a holding penalty on a dive play? How is that even physically possible? How do you hold on a dive play through the zero hole?
My favorite thing about this league is when it came time to be counted, as the league that doesn't allow celebrations, when Cody ripped his helmet off, they could have called it. Let me ask you guys something, okay? And I'll bring Pry back in here, and I'll bring anybody in here who wants to get in here, and I'll bring some of you Alabama sheep that want to get in the mix and in the hunt right now on this one. If that was Kentucky, okay, and Alabama would have been kicking a field goal against Kentucky to win the game at the end, the one of Kentucky players would have ripped their helmet off in the field of play in celebration of a missed field goal. What would have happened there?
They would have called it.
Have you gotten called? I
have no problem with them not calling that. Though I'm not gonna. That's looking for that. If they would have called that, I would have honestly been upset because that's.
Wait a second here. If they would have called what, the rules?
No, I mean that's not how you call the game. I don't care, and I'm not saying they wouldn't have done that had it been the other way around. Because with 100% certainty, I can say you're correct. If that'd been Kentucky, they would have called it. But that's not football, okay? You don't – because the kid took his helmet off after making a big play and the game was over, there's no way you should allow the officials to come in and change the game.
Steve Govalls, what do you say to that?
The officials aren't changing the game. The player is. He knows the rules. The play is not over until the ball is downed. The ball has to be downed. The play, even if there's no time on the clock, the play still goes on.
And I see what you're saying.
And advance the ball.
And I see what you're saying totally. And like I said, if it's been the other way around, without a doubt in my mind, they'd make that call. But if we're Tennessee fans, if that happens to us and they throw the flag, we are absolutely irate. You know, and that's the truth.
Yeah. You know, probably. But then again, how many hold penalties? I mean, were there hold penalties that we were like, yeah, well, we held, like Corey Sullins tackling that guy? That was a hold. I don't have a problem with that kind of call. Okay.
What do you say, Pra? Interesting. Well, Steve Govalls, it was great talking with you tonight. I hope you have a Dwight Gooden. And have a great night. And I would love to share your optimism about next season. I think we'll be better. I don't know if our record will be better. but I think we'll be better because this staff can coach, and this staff knows what they're doing. But, and I love Lane Kiffin, but you cannot, knowing your field goal kicker, kneel down there and kick a 47-yarder. You don't have Sebastian Janikowski anymore. Goodness knows. Do we all agree on that? We don't have Sebastian Janikowski anymore? Okay, good. Okay. And so, if you don't have Sebastian Janikowski anymore, you got to get that ball down to the 18-yard line.
But at the same time, does it even matter? I mean, I couldn't tell. I haven't seen the replay. You guys have probably seen it four or five times. It looks like to me that their entire defensive line busted through, and about five of them could have blocked it. Now, I don't know. That's just what it looked like from my angle.
Oh, that's exactly right. And 44 Jimmy Hyams on here says that the kick was going left anyway, and if he says it, then I believe it.
Oh, absolutely.
Interesting. As we get ready to go back to the busy phones tonight on the fifth quarter, Broncos ZR, how much time do we have left, by the way? I'm taking my full allotment, counting my 20-minute hiatus. By the way, if you want to get in with us tonight, feel free. And, Bronc, I'm sending you Tim Priest said the kick was going left. Thank you for that clarification. Now I really believe it. Double A from the sounds of things there. The living bammer that you talk to, you get a feeling that those people know that they stole one today?
I mean, not only do they know they stole one, but like I said, they've been living in denial about what exactly Lane Kiffin's going to do here, and they think he's just some joke and a loudmouth, and like he'll be gone in 3 years, and they compare him to Mike Shula a lot. But you saw today when I was walking out of that stadium, they know what's coming, okay? They know what's coming. It's exactly like what everyone that went to the Florida game said, that they know that Tennessee will be back in 2 to 3 years, and they were worried. Because I'll tell you what, right now, if you cannot outplay and outcoach Tennessee at home when you have so much more talent and you're the number one team in the country and we're a 500 football team with one of the worst quarterbacks, you know, in Tennessee history, if you can't do it then you better be worried about what's going to happen in 2 years.
Man, what a bad loss. What a bad loss. I'm in complete and total pain. That's all I know. 161, what's up, brother? What's up, 161? 161, how you doing? 161, you're on the fifth quarter, hello? That's brutal radio, isn't it? And we're not even on the radio. Jump in here if you feel like it. Otherwise, I'm about to conclude this edition of the fifth quarter. John Crompton threw one bad ball today, and that's exactly right. And some of the other stuff that we have on our chat board right now.
What's the consensus of the cowards there? What is the
We've got a thread going on Bob Kessling right now.
Oh, good God.
One guy's wondering if Cody has stock in crystals. That Cody is one big dude, is he not?
He's humongous, and he's a player.
He is one big dude, and he is a player. He blocked both those kicks.
That's tough to swallow, but, you know, when our center is 240 pounds, he's giving up 100.
Hey, how about the job Sullins did on him today?
Excellent. That guy's he's had a great year. He's so handcuffed physically because, you know, he's really not a Division I athlete in all, to be put it bluntly, but he's so smart, and that just goes to show you, like, how much of a mental game football really is.
He's not a Division I athlete. Are we talk show hosts?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, he's a Division I athlete. You know what? He's in there competing.
No, I'm talking about physically. Like, you know, physically he's not what Tennessee is going to recruit under the Lane Kiffin era, okay? That's not the caliber of player, but he's so smart. And if you can get someone, once you combine the two, and it's going to be really scary what this offensive line can do. And James Craig has done a phenomenal job, and Mitch Browning, too, with this offensive line and this run game. And I'm really proud of the way they played today.
You know, I just think the whole thing is today is that this team's got to figure out a way to learn how to win. And that's going to be the biggest task of the staff. Sure, it's going to come with recruiting ball players. I understand that. But for the rest of the year, I want to make a bowl game. I only want to lose one more game the rest of the way.
I don't want to lose any.
Well, I don't want to lose any. But if I get my druthers, I'd like to see this team rip off a little bit of a positive streak here. You know, down the stretch of the season, and really accomplish something we can build on and feel good about moving forward. But our special teams, here's the deal with our special teams. People are writing about our special teams. I don't understand, and you've said this before, and it's so right. You got 36,000 people on your campus. You can't put flyers up and find one of these soccer players that played football, soccer in high school, that can kick a ball past the 20-yard line. Today we've got a new thing we're doing now. We're kicking low-line drives to the 20-yard line. Baron Huber from Powell was so shocked earlier today that the ball was coming his way as an up man that he actually called for a fair catch to 22 to start the game. Did you notice that?
I did notice that, and I'm sure he got an earful because Arenas was standing right behind him and would have taken that deep. And you know, Tony, and this was a tough loss, and it really was, and it would have been great to win the game. And I kind of compare it to, and I know you can relate to this with your golf game. It's kind of like coming in and you're playing a great round of golf, and you've never shot in the 60s before, and you three putt two of the last three holes from 20 feet, and you finish with a 70, and you're heartbroken because this was your shot. You know, this was your chance to shoot a 69. You've never done it before, and it came out of nowhere. And you're upset all day and all week. But then when you sit back and think about it, you know, you just shot a 70. You just played a great round of golf, and Tennessee just played a great football game, and they outplayed Alabama. And I just couldn't be any prouder walking out of that stadium and seeing the look in Alabama fans' eyes. It was they were happy, but it was also you could tell that they were worried.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It makes me this game today makes me sick at my stomach. And Baron Huber caught a ball for a first down. He sure did. Guess 261. I was glad to see him do that. But the truth about this team with special teams is people say, well, they've got too many small athletes. Then they have too many big athletes. And they don't have enough of this. We don't have enough of that. You know, I don't pretend to have all the answers. But I know this. All the Fulmerites, and I'm talking right to Jimmy Himes right now. No offense to him. Because when he was doing judge and jury last year, that was shameless. But all, and he is a Fulmerite, by the way. And these guys, they really don't want to see Kiffin succeed. They really don't. And because it's all about, well, Philip Tebow just threw a tip interception in the end zone. Take it back on him. Cut it back against the great big boy at the 40, the 35, the 30, the 25, the 20, the 15, the 10. Nobody's going to catch him. Touchdown. Mississippi mistake. It's 13 to 10. That's 9 pending the extra point. 26 seconds ago in the second quarter. Can you believe it? It's unbelievable. And a Gator fan there with the skull cap, mullet shoved up under the skull cap, plated belt obfuscated by his winter coat, is shaking his head. And there's that goofy-looking Dan Mullen guy. All right. back to what we were talking about here. These people really don't want to see Kiffin do well. And so this week you're going to hear some second guessing about the end of the game and about that drive and about we should have run the ball a little more and about this and about that. And I would like to tell each and every one of the former rights, one simple fact. Berkey, is that you? It's kind of like this. When you don't have talent and you're short-stacked,
Tony,
it's a miracle you're in that game. Berkey, how you doing? Berkey, talk to me about the good feeling you had and about what you saw from that football team. And then I give you the utmost credit. You said at the end of that Ohio game a couple weeks ago, you called me on a Sunday night. I'll never forget this as long as I live.
Into the Auburn game.
You said, yeah. Jonathan Crompton has turned the corner, and you likened it to one of your teammates. Share it with the living listener on the 5th. Hit it, Berkey.
Well, I was just saying that I've been a part of some kids that and been a part of it myself. I've done it myself. I had moments both at Tennessee and in professional minor league baseball and major league baseball where the game's moving too fast. You don't feel like you're up to speed with the competition. And then the light goes on, and all of a sudden you feel like you belong. And then from that, it steamrolls into success. And I was extremely, extremely pleased with the way Jonathan played today. Like you said, I think it started in the fourth quarter against Auburn. I think he made the ball he forced to Teague. I don't think Teague was really open, but you know, a play that didn't hurt us. I was a little surprised that Coach didn't come out throwing the ball a little bit more. To be honest with you, as tough as Alabama is up the middle, and I know that we're going to run the ball. It's what we do the best. But I thought Jonathan played great today. I thought he gave us a chance to win the game. The throw to Stocker there at the end was amazing, catch and throw. And I was just really happy to see us play the way we did. I texted a lot of people this morning. Tony, you were one of them. I thought we were going to win the game 23-20. I just had a great feeling about it. And I'm sick to my stomach that we didn't win the football game. And as I sit here today, I really don't know. You made the comment earlier when I was trying to get on that this is the most exciting 3-4 football season you've ever been a part of. And I really don't know what to say about our football team, because as we stand at 3-4 and we're not ranked and it keeps us farther out of the rankings, I mean, a non-Tennessee fan would probably laugh at this, but you got to argue that we're one of the top 20 teams in the country. I mean, who in the world can go down to Alabama and play them? I mean, we beat their brains in the second half. I mean, we absolutely annihilated them in the second half. And, you know, a couple field goals and maybe a few less penalties, and we win that game handily. But obviously we played Florida great. I mean, we beat the brains out of Georgia. I don't know. It's frustrating to think that we're 3-4, because I looked at my dad midway through the third quarter today and I said, we're going to win this game, and we're going to win the rest of the games, and we're going to win our bowl game. We're going to be 10-3 and finish in the top 10, top 12 of this country. And I truly believe that. I said, who'd have thunk it?
It's the biggest and now, beat ever.
And now here we stand at 3-4, and I still believe we can win out and go 9-4 and still be a top 20 team. But I'm just, regardless of that, that's looking at the here and now. Regardless of it, I've heard Kirk Herbstreit say it. I've heard Sean King say it. Tennessee has proven that we are going to be an absolute monster in this conference for years to come, and the rest of the league knows it. So get your wins in now, boys, because they're going to be few and far between in the future.
Berkey, isn't there such a thing as moments where, and I think even this staff, in a sense, today, this whole team, Double A likened it, and I know, Berkey, you play golf. Double A likened today's game. Repeat your analogy for Berkey, and I want Berkey's thoughts.
I heard it, the 69-70. You know, that's a great analogy. And I think you guys talked about it earlier. I think this is going to again send shockwaves through recruiting, which is where our staff is looking to win at the highest level. And I agree wholeheartly. With that being said, it still makes you sick we didn't win the game. I think today was probably as heartbreaking a loss that I can remember since maybe losing on the last play of the game to LSU. What was that, 2006 or something? You know what I mean? Or maybe even going back to the SEC championship game in 2001. I mean, that was a game that I felt like we wanted and deserved to win as much as any game I can remember, certainly in the last 5 years. And talk about a game that would have really put us back in the limelight in college football. But it didn't happen. I still think we earned a lot of respect. And like I said, I think the future is just as bright as it can be.
Burke, I love the approach today. One other tactical thing about today's game I wanted to point out, and if you want to call in, by the way, the number to do so is 724-444-7444. The ID number is 61744. And then you do something else. And if you can get through, then you're ready to perform brain surgery. Burke, today at midfield, we had a couple of situations there offensively where we're facing a third down and long, and we gave the ball to Montario Hardesty. I would like to see this staff, especially in light of how poor we are with our punting game, and I mean it is poor. Our kickoffs are poor. Our punts are worse. Our field goal kicking is awful. Now, that said, we took the number one team in America today, or the number two team, whatever they are, and we scared them half to death in their place. I want to see this team start taking some shots downfield and giving Crompton a chance to do what he does best, which is throw the deep ball. Just drop back three steps, throw the ball up in the sky, and if somebody picks it off at the 7 or 8 yard line, it's a great punt. Why are we not doing that? Why are we not doing that?
You said it best, and my dad was arguing for it all game, especially like you said. Even, you know, when we had the 3rd and 27, just let it loose. What the heck, you know? Well, worst that happens is an incomplete or a pick, and it's going to be as good as our punt would have been anyway. So, no, I agree with that. I agree with that completely. And like you said, you don't want to, you know, but you know, the frustrating thing is we said it during the week on your radio show, and here we are. We said, you know, the only way I think we're going to play this game great so long as we don't, you know, lose it on giving up a score on offense or special teams. And unfortunately, we lost the game on special teams, period. I mean, their kid makes 250-yarders. You know, we miss 3 field goals, and then we lose the game. And that's a frustrating way to lose, especially when you're playing, you know, you expect to be able to make a few of those field goals, but Daniel just seemed like he was kicking them low tonight, and obviously they get unbelievable push through the middle with that man-child they have in Cody, and it cost us the game. But you just can't say enough about the way we scheme, the way we game plan, the way we get ready to play these big games. I mean, it's amazing.
Burke, you believe that teams like Alabama, when teams like Tennessee are stuck in a rut, that teams like Alabama are going to get the benefit of the doubt from the Zebras? You believe in that?
You know, I heard y'all talking about that a little bit earlier. I didn't feel, as a matter of fact, Tony, I mean, just being as real as I can, I thought there was a couple could have been defensive pass interference calls that got swallowed. So, I think that could have gone against us that didn't, that sometimes I expect to go against us when you're on the road. So I'm okay with the way the game was officiated. I mean, there's certainly, I heard y'all talking about a spot call that I thought was certainly shady, and there was a few plays that I could have could have gone another way. But all in all, I felt like the officiating was fine. I mean, but they were talking about at the end of the game, the kid should have been penalized for taking off his helmet. You know, would I want to see one of our players get penalized for that? No. So, you know, I'm kind of okay with that. But I thought all in all the officiating, I don't think there was one glaring thing you can go to on that.
Double A says that he wouldn't want to win a game like that. He says he would reject. I wouldn't mind it. If a guy takes his helmet off.
No, I take the win. Don't get me wrong. Buddy, I take the win. I don't care how the win comes. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and say and, you know, cry about it. It's not like they swallowed their whistle on a blatant, you know, roughing the kicker or something like that call, you know.
Yeah, that's more what I was saying is, like, that's not football to call that play at that time.
I tell you what was interesting. You know, I guess you all probably saw the highlight of the high school game where they blocked the kick and then the kids picked it up and ran it back. But I guess that ball was past the line of scrimmage, so the play was over. I guess that's the way that went. Do you know what I'm talking about?
If the ball stays behind the line of scrimmage, you can pick it up and run with it. That's exactly right, Berkey.
The high school team they were showing on ESPN all week, a high school team won a game like that.
I'm just guys, when he lined up, here's one more thing, tactically speaking. Don't you try with 41 seconds left to get that ball 10 yards closer for that kicker at that point? Chris?
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, here's the one thing none of us can relate to. I think the way the events happened, the way they did, the fact that we had a legitimate opportunity to win that game was probably so gratifying and so, at the same time, surprising to Kiffin at that moment once we completed that pass, that he thought, let's not take a sack, let's not throw a pick, we're already in field goal range, you know, let me run it one time to see if we can get 5 or 6 more yards, get in the middle of the field, and see if we can't win this thing. You know, and I think ultimately, you know, Daniel hasn't been a great kicker in his career here, but he's given us plenty of moments where he can make a 45-yard field goal. I mean, there's no reason to think that he's not going to at least give that kick a good try. I know he had kicked the one a yard short and had the one blocked, but nobody would have thought that he was going to ram one into the line like he did like that. At least I didn't. I really felt like he was going to make the kick.
You thought he was making it, Berkey?
I really did. I mean, I just thought, you know, law of averages, he's a good enough kicker where you figure he's going to make you figure he's going to make 50% of his kicks in a game. So I thought, oh, this one's going in. You know what I mean?
I'll admit it too, Berkey. I thought he was going to make it. I saw shades of James Will Hoyt in 2004 against Florida, you know, goat to hero. And
sure.
All the Bama fans around me thought he was going to make it, and sure enough.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, a Division I kicker.
He's going to make 50%. Yeah.
He's going to make well, especially when he's already missed a couple early in the game.
Right.
And
exactly.
And the last block, the one that Cody got, it wasn't even close. He never even came close to getting that
right.
ball off the ground.
No, no, no. Anybody would have blocked that. Even if they didn't try to jump, it might have hit our center in the back of the head.
Exactly.
Can we talk about the amazing ability, and nobody can explain it? I mean, Jonathan obviously played at a pretty decent level all game, but can we talk about this guy in the 2-minute drill? It's unbelievable. I mean, the guy in the 2-minute drill, he turns into stinking Drew Brees. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. The guy, I don't even know if he's failed in the 2-minute drill all season. I think we've scored points every single 2-minute drill we've been in the entire year that I can remember.
Why don't we run a fast break offense? I know Kiffin doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want to do it. But, man, I'm telling you, this guy handles it so well. It'd be worth a look, wouldn't it?
It is unbelievable. I told my dad, he was laughing at me at the end of the first half. I said, Dad, we're going to score a field goal here at the end of the first half. He goes, well, we got 45 seconds. We have to move the ball all half. I said, we are going to get in field goal range. There's just not a doubt in my mind. And then at the end of the game, I mean, we score the touchdown. We get back in field goal range. It's unbelievable. I mean, we had those guys on their heels. There's a chance we could have scored a touchdown at the end of that game. We had them so on their heels.
Why didn't we take a shot? That's the other thing. Why not take a shot there?
Telling you, he's worried about a sack or a turnover. That's why, and he felt like he was in a position, good enough position, where his kicker can make that kick. I mean, that's why. Obviously, that's why. Now, do you agree with it or disagree with it? Obviously, that's a matter of opinion. But he thought, I'm already in position to win the game. Why risk it? I mean, that's
what Crompton posted the stats. The fourth quarter stats for this team this season, because I know it is unbelievable what the scoring differential is in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, we don't give up points and we score points.
That's unbelievable. That's coaching.
It is. I mean, that second half was absolutely. And you know, and I want to point out one other thing that I had forgotten, and probably a lot of people have forgotten with Alabama's rise back to greatness. Let's not forget that this is Nick Saban's third year, and his first year he was 6-6.
And got beat by Louisiana Monroe.
Nick Saban was 6-6 his first year there. So, I mean, like I said, I think we're in a great position to at least win 7, if not 8, maybe 9, possibly 9 games. And for Kiffin to do that, you know, and you think about a guy like Nick Saban, the success he's had, and he was 6-6 his first year, I think we're still on pace to have a successful year. If we can just play like we have the last couple of weeks, the rest of the year, which I really expect us to.
And Berkey, the recruiting is off the hook right now. That's the
yeah.
other thing about this that we have to keep in mind. We're top 5, and X tells me we have a legit shot at perhaps finishing number 1 in America before it's all said and done. The guys in the Tennessee recruiting office think that we're going to make a run at that recruiting national championship. That's one of their goals right now going forward. And could you imagine how that would play from coast to coast? With a lot of these national people, and let's face it, college football is a game. The thing that separates this game versus the sport you play, Burke, you play your sport between the white lines, but college football
right.
is so much about perception. That's
right.
what makes it so interesting. It's so much about the way other people see you, the way the media, the way they frame
sure.
you. And
right.
and Lane Kiffin, when you go on the road in Florida and you play a world-class Florida team the way that Tennessee did, and you take Alabama today and you beat them up in their own building and just maul them the way Tennessee did today with a good, solid game plan and with John Crompton at quarterback and the Sullins twins, God bless those kids, playing against Mount Cody and the other two NFL players on their defensive line, I mean, what else can anybody say but
yeah.
wait till these guys get players? What's it going to look like when they have players?
Please tell me that you heard Herb Street on you probably
no.
didn't.
I
did you
not.
Herb Street,
no.
Herb Street on the College Football Overdrive, he was previewing the Texas-Missouri game. They asked him to comment on the Tennessee-Alabama game, and he was saying there's a lot of people who thought this game was going to be close and, you know, certainly didn't think it would be as close as it ended up being. But he goes, let's take the game and throw it out the window. He goes, let's give credit where credit is due. He said, this is exactly what he said. He said, Lane Kiffin, let's take Lane Kiffin, as everybody thought it was going to be it was a charade. Everybody thought it was kind of a circus, everything he had going on preseason. Lane Kiffin has proven that what he has got going on there is going to be a success, and these guys are going to be a monster in the SEC. And he said when he gets his skill people in there, in 2 years this team is going to be an absolute monster in the SEC. And when you get Herb Street and you get Sean King later when he's analyzing the games and he's talking about it, that's like you said, it's the perception off the field, and we've raised our name recognition and our sex appeal, so to speak, in the country to such a level that you couldn't possibly have imagined in year one. And it's hysterical to say that, being that we are 3-4, but it's true.
But the thing is, but in all fairness to you, people have to appreciate this, Burke. The truth about what we saw in that Alabama game is that it's not about record. It is about record, but the season has not been about record. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I said the whole year it's not about record. This season to me is about show me something watchable. Show me effort. Show me improvement. Show me solid coaching. Show me execution. Now, I ask anybody listening right now, the thousands listing on the World Wide Web right now, TonyBasilio.com. Is that not what we saw today? Is that not what we saw? Execution, improvement, effort, purpose. All those things, Burke, last year when you were one of the few who loves the program, and I don't know why so many who do feel the need to sugarcoat things, you said, look, you said this is not a well-coached football team. And that's why there needs to be a change made, because it's not going forward. It hasn't been for some time, and it's not going forward. And, you know, you were right on the money, Berkey.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not an idiot from a standpoint of I don't think we're supposed to win every game. And as great as this program is going to be, and it's going to be great, and I mean, that's not an opinion. I believe that to be a fact. This program is going to be absolutely great here in about the next 2 or 3 years. But no matter how great it gets, we're going to lose games. I mean, as great as SC is, they lose games, okay? You're going to lose games. What you want to do is see your team play well week in and week out. You want to see them make adjustments. You want to see them play clean football. I love the fact that we're the third least penalized team in America. I mean, these are you want to see our kids not getting in trouble off the field. You want to see our kids, you know, being eligible. All these types of things, that is the marking. Those are the makings of what great programs are based around, you know. And to watch us play the games that we do with the limited personnel that we have, it just shows you where we're headed. I mean, once we bring in the classes that we're about to bring in over the next few years, I mean, we are going to be an absolute beast in this country. There's no question about it.
Berkey, if you were a kid right now, project, you're sitting there, you're one of those five-star guys that X has told me, a couple of whom are in Tennessee's back pocket right now, and they told those kids, tune in Saturday's game, we want you to see how close we are. That was the strategy they had coming in today. They told those kids, we want you to watch Saturday's game, and a couple of them are Tennessee-Alabama, either Tennessee-Alabama. We want you to see how and what we can do with you here. Are you telling me that if you're a Jeff Luck or this Elam kid from the state of Florida or a couple of these kids from Alabama that they're in on, that wouldn't have turned your head today?
No, I mean, there's just no question about it. And again, we've talked about it all year, but again, when you see Bryce, which let's kind of on the same, Bryce Brown had some awesome runs today. You're talking about a 19-year-old kid playing against the nastiest defense in the country, and every time he got hit, he fell forward. I mean, he had a handful of runs where it looked like he was going to get about 2 yards and came away with five. I thought Bryce played as well as he had all year as far as running between the tackles. I was extreme. And when you see Brian Marcellus had a couple plays, he's really didn't get involved too much. But obviously you see Jackson out there as a true freshman playing safety. I mean, there's just nothing not to like if you're a kid looking to play early and to eventually play in the National Football League. I mean, Tennessee has to be on your short list. It just has to be.
Hey guys, I could talk with you all night, but I got a roll. But I'm proud of the way this team plays, and you guys are bringing it as always.
Double A, peace on the streets to you. Peace in the Middle East. We've got a couple Bammers in our chat room right now that have decided to wreak havoc, and I don't blame the Alabama Nation for having the fear that this guy is showing. I don't blame those guys at all, because Chris, if you're an Alabama fan and you watch that game today, you know in your heart of hearts that it's coming. That now your worst nightmare. And we said it. I said it from the very beginning about Kiffin, and I believe this. He's either going to be a rousing success or he's going to be a miserable failure, because his approach is it's not going to be much in between. He's that guy that sits down at your poker table and he brings a big wad of money.
Yeah,
and he's that guy that plays for keeps, and he coaches like that. He approaches games that his effort today, when he went for it on a couple of those fourth and shorts,
the fourth down he went on our side of the field. Yeah, that was a joy. That was a joy, and you got to give Jonathan a lot of credit. He put his head down on both of those quarterback sneaks and got them, which were both huge plays. It's a situation right now where if I was an Alabama fan, obviously I don't really think Alabama, I don't think they're thinking more about this season. We're obviously looking to the future. If I was Alabama, I would, as great as their defense is, and it is great, and people are going to sit there and watch that game and think that Alabama's offense is terrible. It's not. Our defense is that good. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and say that. Alabama's offense is limited, though. Their quarterback play is extremely limited. But they play such a clean brand of football that they still have a chance, as good a chance as anybody, to win the national championship. I believe that. Are they the type of team that could get down, that could overcome mistakes? No, because they don't have the quarterback play. But they're the type of team that can go out and execute and get a lead early and still beat anybody in the country because their running game and their defense is that good, and they are that good.
Berkey, you're beyond next level. Thank you for popping in here and joining us tonight on the fifth quarter. I think you're completely outstanding, Berkey, and I love you. You're my man, and I love
Tony.
Hearing from you up there in Louisville. And I hope tonight that you got a good sense of the optimism that we're feeling here in Rocky Top. That was a painful game today, but it's a reminder of how great things are about to get for the football volunteers.
You said it, buddy. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you in a couple days.
Love you, Berkey.
Okay, man.
I'm going to make him into an absolute superstar. And by the way, Bammer, let's see, what was the number? Say 279. I'm glad to know that that's how they teach you how to write down there in Bammer country. And until we meet again for all those behind the scenes, I've been on here for over 2 hours. That's a good effort for me tonight on the fifth quarter.